All right, so I want to start here. I was looking at this passage, the Philippians passage that Jesse just read for us, chapter 1 of Philippians. And this might be the hardest passage I might have preached in my 6.5 years here. And here's what I mean. If you give me a passage out of one of these Old Testament prophets, one of these guys like Isaiah or Amos who's sitting there railing at the Israelites, talking about how you've forgotten this and you've forgotten your God and you're doing these things which break God's heart, I can work with those and translate those to 2026 and say, hey, here in our context, here's how we break God's heart. Here's how we do these things where we worship these false gods. I can do that. I have done that on a regular basis. But I was looking at this, in particular, one particular line out of this, where I'm like, we don't have the vocabulary for this. If you want to put up that first slide, verse 29 there. Yeah, okay. This is what Paul writes to the church in Philippi. For you have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him. We are in this struggle together. You have seen my struggle in the past, and you know that I am still in the midst of it. So I want to key in on that line of the privilege of suffering for him. That's words that just are foreign to our vocabulary. We live in a culture where we do everything to ameliorate suffering. I don't even have to walk into Target anymore. They just bring it out to my car, okay? That's what we do. We pay good money to take those friction points out of life, those things that rub us the wrong way. We put a lot of effort into this. So it is easier for me to translate biblical Hebrew than it is for this. And friends, I got to tell you, Israelites 3,000 years ago, they believed in the same God we do, but they did not believe in vowels. So it's easier to work through this. So what do we do with this? What do we do as Americans living in a comfortable place? We're not persecuted for our faith. We're not dealing with the same things that Paul was writing. Because when he says, we are in this struggle together, you have seen my struggle in the past, and you know I'm still in the midst of it, here's what he's referring to. If you were here in a couple weeks ago, we talked about Paul in Philippi and this fascinating story where Paul ends up in the midst of this riot. He ends up beaten and thrown in jail and in chains. Okay, so the people in Philippi saw this. The people in Philippi, as Paul is writing them this letter, the people in Philippi are facing all this opposition and persecution for being Christians, for saying that the true king is Jesus. And Paul, in the midst of this, as he's writing it from prison. He's literally chained up with guards as he's waiting to have his appeal heard by the emperor. So they know his suffering. They know what's going on. They've seen it, and they're suffering too. So how do we work with this? How do we do this? I think what we got to remember to start out with is that we're not the only Christians in the world, and we're not the only ones with these experiences, or we have different experiences in different places. If you put up that next slide, please. This picture was taken here in Wisconsin a couple years ago. Obviously, I'm on the right. The other gentleman is named Fauzi. He is a pastor in Egypt, or actually in Cairo. And the church he serves at is right there off of the big square. If you remember where all the protests were taking place during the Arab Spring, they were right there in the thick of it. And so his church seeks to spread the name of Jesus in the midst of the Muslim world. And Fauzi has done mission work all over, everywhere from Morocco to Kurdistan. And he works with American groups that want to come over. And the way I got to know him is my old congregation in California would send groups to Morocco and Egypt and Lebanon to do mission work. And what's fascinating is Fauzi came to speak here 2 summers ago, came in July of 2024. and gave a great talk on Sunday morning. But my favorite part of that visit was he was hanging out with the high schoolers on Sunday night. And they were asking questions, and he was telling stories. And it was just such a great and fun discussion. And Fauzi was talking about what Christians endure in Egypt. And if you go from being Muslim to being Christian in Egypt, you lose your job and your family. That's just the way it works. And if you want to convert to Christianity from Islam, what they do is if you come to the church, they just have you meet with the pastor for a couple years. And they're not trying to make it difficult for you. They're not trying to be mean for you. But they're trying to make sure you're not part of the secret police. Because if you let a secret police person into that worship gathering, all the former Muslims are going to give them in a world of hurt. But here's the thing. Talking to Fauzi and some of the other Egyptian Christians that I've known, they always have the spirit of joy because they understand the privilege of suffering for Christ. And friends, sometimes what we do is we take the little injustices that we have, the headwinds that we face, or even worse, we turn being a jerk into suffering for Christ. Okay? I want to be very clear. Okay? If you're saying mean things on Facebook or mean things at the office to people who aren't Christians, you're not suffering, and you get blowback for it, you're not suffering for Christ, you're suffering for being a jerk. Okay? Just to be clear. Okay? I love you all, but I want to be clear. And so what these guys like Fauzi and others get is the privilege that it is to suffer because we're called to be like Jesus. If you want to go to that next slide. Now keep in mind, Paul is writing this as he is in prison, as he is literally chained up to the people of the imperial guard. And this is what he says. I want you to know, brothers, that this is what has happened, has served to advance the gospel. So it has come known throughout the whole imperial guard and the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. Okay, think about it. He's literally chained to these guys. Got a guy on each arm. Okay. What are these guys doing all day? They're listening to Paul talk about Jesus. And they're listening to Paul live his life. Do you think Paul's being cranky? Do you think Paul's being mean? You think Paul's telling them how much they're going to go to hell? No. It's probably like Fauzi with the big grin. Probably like, hey, guys, I'm so excited to tell you about Jesus today. Hey, guess what? It's a Tuesday. You know what Tuesday is. We're going to tell you about Jesus. Okay? And Paul has to be living with that joy. Has to be living knowing that this is a privilege and an understanding because these guys are in Rome and in the part of the imperial household. Because Paul is in prison, he is right at the center of Roman power. And what's he doing at the center of Roman power? He's telling people about Jesus. This is the privilege he has. And the best way to think about it is this next thing I want to show you. Put that last slide up there. And seriously, I know I'm going fast through this, but we've got a lot of stuff going on because it's Music Appreciation Day. I could do 3 weeks of sermons, exercise sermons to take apart this passage. But I want to show you this. Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourself in a manner worthy of the good news of Christ. And I actually switched translations here to the NLT just to bring out that language of citizens of heaven. Now, I want you to think about what that means. Now, I have been living in the Midwest for most of my life, and I have lived in this Midwest long enough to tell the difference between a Minnesota, a North Dakota, and a Wisconsin accent, don't you know? Okay, yeah, sure, you betcha. We're going to take the boat out later, go catch some crappies. But I tell you that. Because that language infects us. Those values of the heart infect us. And part of what's going on with Paul, he's saying, look, when your citizenship is in heaven, you're working through those values, through that joy, an understanding that everything you do is a reflection of that. So Paul, as he's serving, as he's enduring these things, is a reflection of Jesus and a reflection of the character. And friends, this is what it is for us, that we are called to live as citizens of heaven, even though we're here. And that every language, every word we choose should be a reflection of that accent, should be spoken with joy, with love, compassion. So often we do this thing, as, and I've seen this, we all know the stereotypes, about tourists. You go to some place and you're like, everything is wrong, okay? They're driving on the wrong side of the road, they cook the food wrong and everything else. It's a stereotype of ugly tourists. But what Paul is saying, don't bring judgment, bring love, compassion, just as Jesus did. And so here, my friends, is in my encouragement for you to understand this, that we are called to live as citizens of heaven here on this world. Live as Paul did, live as Jesus did, loving the people around us and serving them with joy. And when he says this, living in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ, don't think of that as law. Think of that as challenge. Think of that as blessing. Because you are called to live in this fashion so that people know it as soon as you open your mouth. As soon as you speak those words, they hear the accent of heaven with everyone you encounter. Everyone who persecutes you, everyone that makes you suffer, that you would be a blessing, just as Paul was, as he was in jail. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much. We pray that you would give us wisdom and grace in all situations, that you would help us to know always that we speak with the citizenship of heaven, that we speak with that accent, and that we bless the people around us, no matter the circumstances. Amen. Instead of the sermon